Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the Q4 FY25 earnings conference call of DMCC Specialty Chemicals Limited, hosted by TIL Advisors. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Abhishek Mehra from TIL Advisors. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you, Rutuja. Welcome, everyone, and thanks for joining this Q4 FY25 earnings conference call of DMCC Specialty Chemicals Limited. The investor updates have already been uploaded on the stock exchanges and on the company website. In case you do not have a copy of the same, please feel free to reach out to us. To take us through the discussion, we have with us from the management team Mr. Vimal Gokuldas, Managing Director and CEO, Mr. Sunil Goyal, Chief Financial Officer, and Ms. Sonal Nair, Company Secretary and Compliance Officer. We'll be starting the call with a brief overview of the business and the financial performance, which will be followed by the Q&A session. I would like to remind you all that everything said in this call reflecting any outlook for the future, which can be construed as a forward-looking statement, must be viewed in conjunction with the risks and uncertainty that the company faces. These risks and uncertainties have been mentioned in our annual report. With that said, I would now like to hand over the call to Mr. Vimal Gokuldas. Over to you, sir.
Thank you, Abhishek, and welcome to all the investors who've taken the time to join this conference call. I'll be speaking a little bit about the Q4 and the full year 2024-25 financial results. After I give an introduction, I'll be happy to take questions from anybody. Also, I would like to add that we've had a pretty good year overall. It's been, in terms of the last quarter, it's been 125 crores in top line and profit after tax of 6.47 crores, whereas for the full financial year, it's 430 crores of top line and 21.5 crores of profit after tax. I'm sure all of you have had a chance to look at the results in some detail. For the full year, we've had EBITDA margins of about 13.5%. If you compare it to the previous year, it may not seem much of an increase, but I just point out that in the last year, and particularly Q4 of last year, we had profit on the sale of some investments, which was to the tune of about 8 crores before tax. So that needs to be factored in when you're comparing last quarter, the same quarter of last year with this year's Q4. So a little bit about our business. I'm sure you know that we are into bulk as well as specialty chemicals. And overall, the situation has been better than the previous 2 years, with one major exception being the European markets. You all know how Europe has struggled with the increase in cost, particularly that of energy. And several chemical companies have reduced their production in Europe, and there's really not much expansion happening. So we've lost some of our exports to Europe as well, not to competition, but basically the consumption of those materials in Europe has come down. So apart from positive changes in the domestic consumption in India, and particularly in the boron business, where we've had some good growth, the export sales, and that constitutes mostly specialty chemicals, has taken a hit because of the EU market conditions. In terms of our debt and things like this, we are quite comfortably placed. We are repaying debt, and our long-term borrowings are now below 60 crores. Working capital position is quite comfortable. And all our major investments that we had planned have been made. So we are not envisaging any major capex at this time. The other couple of things I'd like to add is that you are all aware of the tariff situation as far as the U.S. is concerned. And while India is working towards negotiating a trade agreement, we'll see what happens on that. But as far as our products are concerned, they don't appear to be too many producers in the U.S. Therefore, we don't expect any impact of the tariffs. And if the tariffs do come into play, we will be in a position to pass them on to the customers in the U.S. As all our competition as well will face the same tariffs or higher tariffs. One of the potential threats to our profitability, as mentioned in the report, is the upcoming commissioning of a large copper smelter in Kutch. And that is expected to happen sometime later this year. Exact dates have not been announced, but that is expected to put some downward pressure on the sulfuric acid market. And while it may mainly affect, you know, northern Gujarat and things like this, so we do expect a trickle down effect all over the country. So, and the latest situation after the terrorist attacks in Pahalgam remains to be seen. It's an ongoing development, but we are confident that the Indian government will have considered everything when making the moves. So with that, I'd like to open up for questions.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on the touchtone telephone. If you wish to withdraw yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question is from the line of Yash Parekh, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
So my question is on the capacity utilization level. Earlier,
sorry,
you mentioned
it's not very clear what you're saying. Could you come closer to the mic or speak a little loudly, please?
Okay. Am I audible now?
Yes. Mr. Yash, we are unable to hear you.
Am I audible now?
You need to be more loud, sir.
Yeah, sure. My question is on the capacity utilization level. Earlier, you had mentioned that current capacity, we go up to 500 plus top line. On a quarterly run rate, we are already there. Is it because of the jump in realization or we are, you know, the operating at optimum capacity?
Yeah, so that's a good question. We're seeing the growth in the top line as a combination of price increase as well as volume increase. We haven't come close to achieving full capacity utilization in our plants as yet, but we've made progress over the previous year. And you are right, the increase in realization also has had a positive impact on the top line.
And sir, about the smelter capacity coming on stream in the current financial year, could you please share some details? As someone new to the company, I couldn't, you know, the connection between smelter and sulfuric acid. Can you please help me understand the same?
How it will impact our operations? Yeah, the exact amount of sulfuric acid is not very clear. But it will be in a couple of thousand tons per day at least. We don't know the exact date it will start, but it is imminent. And the correlation is that copper smelters have a byproduct of sulfuric acid, and they can have this without burning sulfur. So when sulfur prices are low, it doesn't matter that much. But when sulfur prices are high, all the sulfur-based sulfuric acid plants are at a disadvantage compared to the smelter-based sulfuric acid plants.
Okay, sir, and in your commentary, you already mentioned about the that you are not planning any capex, but don't you think it's the right time as the debt is going down and interest cost is going down, and it takes around like 1 to 2 years for the capex? Don't you think it's the right time to evaluate the capex?
So, yes, you're right. What I said was that no major capex doesn't mean we're not going to do anything at all. We have a plan of about 10 to 15 crores, but nothing major compared to what we have done, you know, the major expansion at Dahej, which happened over the last few years. We have nothing like that planned. And what we'll do is, as we increase our utilization of the multipurpose plants, when we find that there's any particular product which is mature, we'll take it out of there and we'll put it into a dedicated plant, in which case we'll come back to the board and to the shareholders for the necessary capex.
And so last one on the R&D pipeline, it's been a long time since we have heard from you about a new product in the pipeline. In the presentation, you have mentioned about the sulfone from a while now. Can you please elaborate a little bit on the R&D initiatives and the new products in the pipeline that will drive the growth of our company in future?
Yes, so we are working on several niche products, and you know, it's competitively not to our advantage to specify which products are going to be our focus, but they are within the sulfur and boron chemicals specialty space. I can mention that much, and they are similar chemistries to what we are already doing. And within our multipurpose plants, we are able to meet the requirement of the customers at this time. And of course, we expect, we are continuing to invest in R&D and in the market development. And as they come to that level, we will then be able to share more information.
Okay, thank you very much, sir.
Thank you.
Thank you. Participants who wishes to ask a question may press star and one. The next question is from the line of Yashvi from Molecule. Please go ahead.
Hello. Yeah, am I audible?
Yes.
Yes.
So my first question is, given the planned shutdown in Q4 at the Dahej, could you please help us quantify the loss of the business, and also if you could give us an idea on the potential impact that it will have on the Q1 and the financial performance?
So, there, you know, we are operating two plants, one at Dahej in Gujarat, one at Roha in Maharashtra. And the anchor plant at both locations is a sulfuric acid plant. So when this plant is shut down, most of the site also has to shut down. At Dahej, we had a smaller shutdown because it was spread across a few days in the previous quarter, which is Q3, and about 10 days in Q4. So you could say we lost 10 to 15 days production out of possible 90 days production during that particular quarter. And in we have a shutdown in Roha in Q1 of 25-26, and that will be a slightly longer shutdown. That is about 20 days to 25 days total shutdown time. So the corresponding impact on production and sales will be seen.
My next question is that you, in your commentary, mentioned that there's a compression in the EBITDA margin due to the sharp increase in the sulfur prices. So, as you said, you pass on the increase in the cost of the specialty chemicals. Would it be fair to assume that the profitability in specialty chemicals side would be back to normal from the current quarter?
Yes, we do pass on for most of our large volume contracts. We do pass on all the raw material changes plus and minus. What happened in the previous quarter is an unusual jump in the sulfur price, which will get reflected in the contract pricing in Q1 of this financial year. So we will be able to pass it on, and normally it's not this much, so it doesn't reflect like that, but this time it was substantial. So I think 40% or so was a change in the price just across the last few months.
Okay, sir. And since the past 4-5 consecutive quarters, you've been giving positive commentary on the boron business and the development. It would be really helpful if you could give some more details as what progress we've made in the new downstream products and how much of the CapEx are we planning further in the segment.
Yeah, so in terms of the overall business, you know, the boron business achieved a good growth. We had about 100 crores in sales for the boron business in the past year, and most of our CapEx investment has been done. So what we'll do is incremental investment or debottlenecking, that kind of thing. No substantial CapEx needed.
Okay. And if you could let us know the profitability of this segment, like the specialty margins or the commodity margins.
So we don't particularly give out the margin percentages. But suffice to say that, you know, the specialty chemical business in general has a higher margin than the bulk chemicals.
Okay. And my last question is, so Europe has always been the largest export geography for us, and we've been hearing a slowdown and negligible demand from Europe. So in these last 2 years that we've thought of strategically shifting our focus to some other geography, or are we waiting for the things to turn around, like for all the shutdowns that we're doing and shutting the capacity? Is it a cyclical thing or a structural thing that we're doing, and how does that impact or what are we doing that would reduce the impact of the negligible demand to our business?
Yes, again, good question. So we could see the European demand coming down and particularly impacted by the increasing costs, not only for energy but for everything else as well. And we are looking at, and we have been active in developing new markets. So we are making some headway in Latin American countries where we have seen decent growth. And we are also selling some products into China, which we were not doing earlier. And while both of these have not yet made up for the loss of the European business, we believe that over a period of time, it will get substituted. And to answer your question about whether the drop in European demand is temporary or more permanent, it's, you know, it requires a change in the complete thought process of the Europeans. You know, they need to decide to protect their industry and to support manufacturing within the EU. While we have heard, you know, that the industry itself is asking for some kind of level playing field, some kind of protection, some kind of subsidies, So far, we don't believe anything has happened. Of course, I'm no expert on European chemical policy, but we believe that sometime they will have to take some stand. As you know, China is supporting its industry in a very big way, not only on the capital side, but also on the OPEX side and on the and on export subsidies. So that way, if you just let things be, then they will take over everything. But I'm sure that, you know, good counsel will prevail and the Europeans will take steps to revive their industry.
And just a follow-up question on that. What are we expecting from the Latin America or the China side? As you said, we are moving forward to shifting the geographies and focusing on other geographies as well. So what sort of growth are you expecting from these two regions? And by when do you expect the European laws to be fixed by these two regions?
So I don't give forward-looking projections, but I can tell you that we are working on it. And perhaps at this time next year, we would be able to review this year's performance.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, to ask a question, you may press star and one. The next question is from the line of Ankit Gupta from Bamboo Capital. Please go ahead.
Thanks for the opportunity. Sir, on both the plants, Roha and Dahej, if you can talk about on the specialty side, how much is our capacity utilization? So this quarter, we are at a run rate of around 52 crore for the quarter. So how much room is there to increase it further given the realizations remain where they are, or, you know, adjusting for some sulfur price increases that we intend to pass on in this quarter?
Yeah, so we are at about, you know, depends on product to product, we are at different percentages. But on the average, I would say we are between 50 to 60% in our specialty chemicals business in terms of capacity utilization.
And in terms of room, let's say, we taking the average of last year, so around 52 crore is our revenue from the specialty, so 210 kind of revenue is what we are generating annually at current capacity utilization. So from there, let's say if the demand increases and some of our new products also take off, so like can this reach around, you know, 280, 300 crore kind of revenue when you reach at optimum capacity utilization from the specialty segment?
So certainly it can grow. I won't project a particular number, but we have enough headroom and we have enough space available within our existing plants, and in terms of reactor capacity, etc., we have available sufficient to double our current sales of specialty chemicals.
Okay, so it can even touch 400 crore is what you are saying?
Yeah.
Okay, okay. And so on the margin front, if you, the decline despite high sulfuric prices was primarily because of the increase in sulfur prices on the specialty side. Is that the right conclusion? As per the commentary?
Yeah, that is one thing, but if you compare to last year, remember I said that there was an 8 crore profit before tax on sale of shares. So then if you minus that...
I'm looking at operating performance. There has been improvement on a YOY basis. There has been significant improvement, in fact, on a YOY basis. But on Q&Q basis, we have seen some decline in the margin.
That is because of sulfur.
Okay, okay, okay. On the boron side, we have been, like, your commentary has been positive for quite a few quarters now. If you can tell us, you know, exactly how do you see this business scaling up? If you can give a broad indication of how much is it contributing currently to the revenue and how has been the growth in this segment in FY25, and how do you see the segment going over the next year or two?
So there we have a little bit of headroom for growth, but if we, you know, not more than 20-30% headroom, and then we'll have to make some further expansions. But our idea is not to expand in the bulk business anymore, but to look at specialty products. And once you get into specialty products, then it doesn't matter whether they are sulfur-based, boron-based, etc. We look at them as a separate yardstick itself. So we will we'll consider that as just another specialty chemical.
Sure. So currently the entire boron field is through commodity products?
Not entirely. About 70% or so is the commodities.
Okay. Okay. And how much is it contributing to our overall revenues, borons?
I'd have to check, but roughly about 100 crores, 90 to 100 crores, something like that.
Okay. And how do you see this segment going for us?
So it is a mature segment. As I said, we don't expect too much growth in the base chemicals. But in the specialties, there's opportunities in both domestic and export markets, which we are evaluating.
Okay. And then on the margins front, given how things are currently, can we assume that, you know, on a steady state basis, if not, you know, 18-20%, but 15-16% margins is what we can look for the company to do on a steady state basis?
No, there's no such thing, and I don't like to give forward projections. So we'll, it's not a business where, you know, because we are still heavily dependent on commodities, very difficult to project future margins. So, you know, and too many fluctuations, too many variables at any given time, and becoming more and more variable every day, as you can see. So even in good times, I don't give projections, so certainly in these times, I'm not going to.
Sure, I understand. And then on the new product launches, if you can talk about, you know, how many products we launched in FY25, how has been their performance, how has been their acceptability, how do you see the this product scaling up on in FY26-27, and what are our plans for launching new products in the next 2 years?
Yeah, so, you know, we have different stages of product introduction. You know, first is doing the R&D itself to develop new processes. The second is to do the test marketing, and finally it's through the commercial scale selling. So in terms of that, we have three products which we have done commercial sales, but it's still not become mature products, and we expect that it can vary from product to product, so we don't like to give, you know, I can't tell you when it's going to become a regular product, but we are making them in multi-purpose plants, and so far had you know, all of them go through hiccups in terms of product testing. The customers will come back with new requirements on quality. So then we'll make the changes. We'll go back to the customer, things like this. So then even the commercial trial, the customer will take with their product and get approval from their customer. So these are all long timeline items. And we expect that the products which we recently launched will get fully accepted in this current year. And in this current year, we'll develop some new products which we'll take up in the next year for commercialization.
Okay. Do you expect some of them have a potential or the market size to reach, you know, 30 to 50 crore on an individual molecule basis?
Yes, the market potential is there, but if you ask me when we will reach, etc., I can't answer that.
So three products we've launched last year, FY25, 26 and 27, how many products are you planning to launch on, you know, sulfur, sulfones, and even boron side?
Difficult to say right now, But as soon as they are launched in the next conference call, we'll be able to tell you.
Sure. Okay. Okay. Thank you, and wish you all the best.
Thank you.
Thank you. Participants, you may press star and one to ask a question. The next question is from the line of Amar Maurya from Lucky Investment. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi, sir. Thanks a lot for the opportunity. Sir, what would be our volume growth in specialty as well as into bulk chemical in this year?
So in the bulk chemical, you know, we are practically running at full capacity. So even last year, we would have run at 90% or 95% capacity. And that continues in this year as well. So it's not, there's not much change in the volume of the bulk chemicals, but main change is in the volume of the specialties. And while we don't publish individual product numbers or anything like that, but you can say at least, 15 to 20% jump in the specialties.
Okay. But, sir, as you said, that you are already operating at a 90% utilization. So, basically, the 30% growth in overall revenue, so you are saying 12% would be this. So, 18% is largely a pricing growth which we had seen in this particular whole year.
So, it could be. I have not done that math. But, and it changes from product to product. So, you know, in the... when sulfur increases, sometimes you're able to pass on the price to the customers. In the bulk chemicals, sometimes you're not able to. And in the specialty, generally you are able to, but there's always some lag of like a quarterly basis.
Okay. And what would be our capacity for specialty? Like you have a bulk car 300 metric ton per day.
Yeah, so it's not a particular, it's not one plant, it's multiple plants at both locations. So, as I mentioned earlier, we are about 50 to 60% capacity utilization overall on the specialty. We have still scope to grow with our existing facilities without making much capex.
Okay, okay. But any number for the capacity, per day capacity kind of thing for specialty?
No, there's no such thing.
Okay, and so let me ask it other way around. Let's say, as you said, your specialty chemical currently is around 60% of overall revenue, and it is at 60% utilization level, right?
No, it's not. It is, I think, about 50%.
Okay, 60% utilization.
If you're looking at the quarter,
huh?
If you're looking at the quarter, we had about 42% specialties and 58%.
On a full year basis, what would be our specialty?
So roughly 50-50, I would say.
So let's say, sir, 200 crore odd revenue, 215 crore revenue, and full year utilization would be at 50%. So the peak revenue from this plant could be around 430 crore.
Correct.
And this, according to you, you will achieve in 1 or 2 years the peak utilization.
I never said that.
No, I mean, I'm just assuming to reach to the suboptimal.
On the future projection.
Okay. And largely, the specialty goes into which all industries?
So we focus on a type of chemistry like sulfur chemistry, boron chemistry, all that.
And
we are agnostic to the end uses. So the end uses would be in, if you see in our presentation also, we've given you some of our customers mentioned there. And they're across fields, you know. They're from paints and coatings to pigments to dyes, agrochemicals, pharmaceuticals, you name it. And all our business is B2B, so we would supply to other industrial companies.
And out of our export, how much would be US, sir?
So, not very high, but Europe, US, China, Japan, and a little bit of Latin America where we are selling.
So we are selling in China also?
Yes.
What is the reason? Like China is not competent in the sulfuric chemistry, is it like that?
So there are some products where we are more competitive than the Chinese.
Oh, is it? Perfect, sir. I'll come back in queue.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Rajat Setia from iThought PMS. Please go ahead.
Hi, thanks for the opportunity. Am I audible?
Yes.
Thanks. Just one small clarification before I proceed to the question. So you said at the full level basis, like full year basis, like upper 25 basis, your specialty chemical mix to 50%?
Sorry, I couldn't hear that. I can hear you, but it's not clear what you're saying, Rajat.
Am I audible? Is it better now?
Yes, much better.
Okay, sure. So, at the full year level, like for financial 25, specialty chemical mix was 50% on the in terms of revenues. Is that understanding correct?
Roughly, yes.
Okay, and you said capacity utilization for specialty chemical was 50%, right?
Yeah, 50 to 60%. You know, it's across different products, so it's not one plant or it's not one product.
So, and you mentioned that smelter based sulfuric acid, they have slight bit more advantage over sulfur based specialty sulfuric acid. So what is the reason for that and how does that affect us?
So it has nothing to do with the specialties, but sulfur-based sulfuric acid is in general more expensive than smelter-based because the smelters don't need to burn sulfur. They get it as a byproduct of their copper smelter or zinc smelter operation.
In a way, it's going to add to the overall capacity to the industry.
So it's going to put more tonnage out in the market. And that tonnage is not going to be based on, you know, sulfur price. So right now, sulfur price being on the higher side, all sulfuric acid producers who are based on sulfur will face pressure.
And from when these capacities are coming online?
We've just seen the announcements, so we don't know when exactly it will come online, but we expect in the next 3 to 6 months it will come online. But it's not in our control or anything.
So, and so what's our annual maintenance capex that we have to do every year irrespective of any green sugar problem?
So we have, you know, two types of maintenance expenditure. You know, one is of course regular maintenance, just upkeep. The Roha plant is the plant was set up in the late 70s. Of course, we are doing every year maintenance, so it's not a 50-year-old plant, but it needs things like roads need to be repaired, painting, things like that, structures. So that's one part of it. And the other part is, say, once in a year or once in 2 years, we need to shut down our sulfuric acid plant for maintenance. So that's when we spend, about 1.5 to 2 crores, depending on what equipment needs to be replaced.
Our new plant, the Dahej plant, where specialty chemical or bulk chemical came up, is that under the new tax rate, lower tax rate regime, or is that under the same?
So it's both plants are in the same company, and we are currently under the old tax regime. But we expect by next year we'll go to the new tax regime, next year or the year after.
Okay, which means 25%, 26% or so, right?
Correct.
And finally, in the borrowing segment where we did 100 CR almost, is that all low margin commodity nature product or?
About 70% is the low margin product, and about 30% would be the higher margin product.
And the higher margins would be in the same range as our other specialty chemical market?
Yes, typically.
Okay, and sir, our raw material problems related to this segment is completely sorted now?
So, see, the thing is that in boron, there is no raw material in India. So, there will continuously be a supply chain issue. You know, whether it is something to do with Suez Canal, whether it is something to do with some other strike, shipping costs, availability, etc. So I will say this is, you know, it's like juggling. There's always some balls which are in the air and you have to keep an eye on it all the time. So for the moment I can say it's okay, but I can't tell you it's a permanent okay.
Understood. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Siddhant from RB Investments. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon, sir. Just a small question from my side. In the PPT as well as earlier in the call, you mentioned regarding opening of a smelter. So could you just outline your approach going forward?
So, you know, I just mentioned it as abundant precaution as one of the threats coming up to our business, because it's in the public domain that this Kutch copper smelter will start, and it will surely affect the availability of sulfuric acid, particularly on the western coast of India. And difficult to gauge the impact. I mean, consumption in India is growing. Also, there could be exports of sulfuric acid from the smelter. But basically, I just wanted to point out to the shareholders that this is something which we are keeping an eye on. We can't quantify the impact, but we know there will be an impact. Hello.
Thank you. Participants who wishes to ask a question may press star and one. Ladies and gentlemen, you may press star and one to ask a question now. The next question is from the line of Rohit Ori from Progressive Shares. Please go ahead.
Hi, a few questions on my side. This is more related to the new accounts you probably must have added during the year. First one being Sudarshan Chemicals, and second one you moved from Solvay to Swensco. So if you can just highlight which are the domains or the industries or the end user that you are targeting with these two new accounts?
So basically what you see in the presentation is a sample listing of our customers.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not all the customers. The Heubach Clariant has been acquired by Sudarshan, and
mm-hmm.
they are in pigments. They've become amongst the largest in the world in pigments now. So that is one. And the other one, Syensqo, is basically the specialty chemical business of Solvay. Since they've changed the name, we've changed the name. And they continue to be clients. But it's across the board. It's not any particular targeted end use for us.
Because Swensco is more interested in the specialty chemicals for circular economy, or maybe automotive, or maybe green hydrogen and battery businesses. So we'll be supplying to the specialty part, is it?
Yes.
Okay. In addition to that, in the presentation, you go through manually, you've added around 5 new products for the boron chemistry, around 8 in specialty chemical and 1 on the bulk side. So if projects, so which are the target industries or the developments that are happening over here?
So there are a lot of these, you know, would not necessarily be on a fully commercial side or targeted towards a particular end use. They are in a wide range of end uses. You know, boron also goes on find applications in things like glass, ceramics, glass fiber, agriculture, all that. We've got products which go into micronutrient fertilizers, things like that. So it's not not targeting any one particular industry. You have fire retardants as well.
Mm-hmm. And in addition to that, your commentary also mentioned about these three products which you compared to 38. Which are the domains, if you can take us to what exactly is it, specialty or is it bulk side that you have added?
So they are specialties. They are not added. We've just mentioned them separately, but if you look at our annual reports, they've always been there. This is
okay.
Product where we are in the top three in the world. And they would go in multiple applications. In each one of them goes into different applications. The last one, the sodium vinyl sulfonate, particularly goes into coatings and emulsions. But the others are multiple end uses.
And even if you look at the presentation, you have added somewhere around 10 new cities on the... If you look at the presentation, you've added around 10 new cities or geographies or 10 new dots on the globe. If you can take us through that, are these high-margin businesses or are you targeting at bulk businesses over here?
So, no. Bulk business is mostly in India. Whatever we do outside India is specialty.
Mm-hmm. Any guidelines that you want to share that you can go from around 13-14% EBITDA margins to maybe 17-18 in the next 3 years or something like that?
No, I don't make those kind of projections. But, I've always maintained that, you know, the specialties are a higher margin. And as we expand our specialty business, we'll see an expansion in the EBITDA margin. In fact, one of the reasons we are not at higher levels is because of the slowdown in Europe, which has taken away a lot of our specialty chemical export business.
But then directionally, you have that ambitious plan to reach 17-18% EBITDA margin, right?
We want to increase it for sure. And I don't know if I would put a particular target.
You mentioned about this shutdown, which will be in the current quarter, maybe 20-25 days or so. Probably that can give you somewhere around 85-90 crore kind of top line. You think for the full year, you'll be able to grow at the GDP growth rate of India?
So again, typically the chemical industry grows faster than the GDP growth. But again, you're asking me to make futuristic projections, and I don't do that. But I can tell you in general that the chemical industry grows faster than GDP.
Thank you, Bhima, for answering my question. Thanks a lot. It makes a lot of sense. Thank you. Thanks a lot.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Vignesh Iyer from Sequent Investments. Please go ahead.
Vignesh Iyer, we can't hear you.
Mr. Iyer, please go ahead with the question. Your line is unmuted. Mr. Iyer, may we request you to please go ahead with the question? So there is no response from the participants. Participants who wishes to ask a question may press star and one. As there are no from the participants, I now hand the conference over to Mr. Bimal Gokuldas for closing comments.
So thank you once again, Abhishek and the TIL team for hosting this. Thanks to all the investors for attending the conference and for all your questions. And my team and I are, we are, let me reassure you that we are working through all these difficult times to try to increase our top line, bottom line. And we appreciate all the faith the investors have in our performance. So thank you and have a good evening. Back to you, Abhishek.
Thank you. On behalf of DMCC Specialty Chemicals Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us and you may now disconnect your lines.